All right, the first problem that we took up was the question of Hilchos Yisrael Yatera. Why are these 10 mitzvahs the dafka, the ones that are incorporated in the Yisrael Yatera? Okay. The question would be, of course, a few questions. First of all, we have to understand Lekare Shemai. Why is that considered one of Yisrael Yatera? Lelechal Shemai. All right, if you want to say that is, what about the Rambam holds that a person should swear? But swear by the Shem Hashem is a mitzvah going around. Li Shava Bishmai, why isn't that here? What about Lispalo Bechol Yonim? Lo Ovdai, why isn't that one of the Yisrael Torah? And certainly you would think Avodah Zarah would certainly be one of the Yisrael Torah. The Yisrael Avodah Zarah. Ram doesn't have it. Okay? Then the Ramam has Shalil Abed Dvarim Shenikra Shmai Alehem, Mechikas Hashem. Why is that one of the Yisrael Torah, Mechikas Hashem? If you're not allowed to erase the Shem Hashem. You have a Shem Hashem piece of paper, you know how to erase it. So why is that a Yisrael? Why is that one of the Yisrael Torah?
Okay.
The Rambam has three things. Lei Dashiyeshem Alaka. That's one. To know that the God exists. Then Sheloyala B'machshava Shiyeshem Alaka Achar Zulasi Hashem. That there is none other besides Hashem. And then Liyachado. See, Liyachado means the difference between the second and the third. Somebody might ask, what's the difference between the second and third? The second means there's nothing and no other God besides him. The third means that his essence, his nature, is one. Doesn't have any components. God doesn't have any components. Okay, that's why. Why doesn't he have any components? Ram says, because he's not a goof. A goof is broken up into components. Okay, there's nothing that could divide him. He's indivisible. All right. The question. Basically, the question is, why these ten? Why these ten? You can think of other ones that also should be included, and you can think of. One for sure that you should exclude. Shlel Nasesa also. Why do you include Shlel Nasesa?
Yeah.
Right. Not to question the Navi too much as a detail. Alright. So we said like this. We said that if you take a look at the Lashon Rambam in these 10 prakim here, you'll see that he says the word Yisayid twice. The word Yisayid is found twice. In the beginning, Yisayid is for Omar HaChachmais, is Leida Shiesham Motzi Rishayin, that there is an existence, that something which exists, which is the prior not meaning first in time, well, which means that his nature is to exist, and that's the first time he mentions Yisayid. Second time he mentions Yisayid is in Perek Shvi, Mi Yisayid Yados Leida Shekel Menabes Bnei Adam. So he says these are only two times Ram mentions Yisayid. So what do we say? We said that really there are only two Yisaydis. Two Yisaydis Adas. In the whole religion, only two Yisaydis Adas. One is that there is a God, Matzi Rishayin, and two, that God is Menabe B'nei Adam. That's the second Yisayid. Now, all these halachas over here, these Hilchais Yisaydis Atera, does not mean Hilchais, halachas Yisaydis Shabbatera. Doesn't mean the most basic halachas in the Torah. That's not what it means. It's Hilchais Yisaydei HaTorah. There are two Yisaydei HaTorah, and there are halachas which were created, which were formulated by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that embody these Yisaydis. See, they're based on these Yisaydis. The halachas stem directly. It's a halachification of the Yisaydis. Okay. Now, let's understand. Why are these only these two the Yisaydis and nothing else? Alright, so we say like this. At the first Yisayid, the Yisayid that, of course, the Yisayid, the difference, if you take a look at the Rambam's Lashon, you see, Rambam says like this. In the first Yisayid, the Rambam says, Yisayid Yisaydis V'omod HaChachmais. Interesting, he doesn't mention Yisayid Yisayid Das. Doesn't mention Das at all. Okay. Then we spoke about that once before. Then the second time he says, "Mi Yisayde Hados Leida Shekel Menabeis Bnei Adam." Right? And the answer is like this: that our religion is based upon two things. The first thing is the reality beyond all realities. That's the Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's Sheyesha Matzi Rishon. That he's the reality, the ultimate reality. All reality that we see stems from him. There's nothing that exists without him. And the way the Rambam explains it. That's the first thing. So the first Yisayid is the Yisayid HaChachmais. It has nothing to do with religion at all. It's Yisayid HaChachmais. that anyone that would have enough knowledge of reality would know, as you keep tracing back, to find, like, you think the table's a reality. Take a look, you see the table really has an atomic structure. So you go beyond the structure of the table, then you go beyond. If you keep on going beyond and beyond, you'll finally come to only one reality. It's the reality of God. Okay? That's the first yesod. That's the first yesod. Okay. The second yesod is different than the first in one respect. Why? Because when you have the first yesod, you still don't have what? You still don't have a dus. Still has no dus yet. Yeah, there's a God. He's the underlying reality. But what? You have no religion. I mean, what basis do you have to make a religion? There's no basis. A religion, you'll make up your own religion. That's not a real. That's not a reality according to the Rambam. According to Ayah, this isn't based on any human type of contrivances. Yeah, this is based upon a religion which is real because it emanates from the source of reality, which is God. Now, the only way you can have that is if God is Menabe. If God is not Menabe B'nei Odom, then it means that people made up their own thing, their own ideas. That's not Yadus. So the Torah requires two premises. First premise is that there's an ultimate reality beyond the realities that you see. Correct, right? The second premise is that this reality relates to man and set up a system of religion. Right? That's the second yesod. That a kel menabe is b'nei Adam. That's why the whole yadus is based upon these two yesodis. Alright? The existence of God is, of course, that's the one premise upon which everything rests, because how could you have the God menabe b'nei Adam if you don't have that? That's right. But that is not that alone is not enough. You don't have Torah when you have that premise. You don't have Torah. So I mentioned an example. It was Einstein. Man who had the first yesod. Said that says every scientific investigator is convinced that there is a reality beyond the force, beyond the realities that we see, that is far superior to that of man, which is the cause of the universe. Yeah, that's what he said. That's the first he said. He recognized the first he said, but that's where he stopped. He didn't recognize. He didn't have any terror then. He didn't have scientific knowledge, but he didn't have any terror. Terror, you need a second he said. Nevius. The fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Menabe Moshe Rabbeinu is not a particularized event. See? It's a universal. It's a universal of Nevuah. Moshe was a particular case of the Nevuah. He was the highest possible case. But the Yesod is that there's Nevuah. It's not the Yesod isn't that God just came down magically to Moshe Rabbeinu. It's part of the system of the universe that there is Nevuah. I want to mention one thing. The Yesodei Hilchos Yesodei HaTorah and the Ikarim are not the same. Two different things. The Yud Gimel Ikarim, according to the Rambam, is those things which are necessary for a person in order to complete his Chalei Shem Yisrael, Kedushas Yisrael. So Rambam holds that Kedushas Yisrael, there's an inborn Kedushas Yisrael, but then there's a Kedushas Yisrael which a person completes through his knowledge. That's through the knowledge of the Yud Gimel Ikarim. It's a separate thing. But that's not Hilchos Yesodei HaTorah. Hilchos Yesodei HaTorah is based upon two yesodes. That's it. Every ikar is not a yesod. It's an ikar bedas, but it's not necessarily a yesod. Like, for instance, one of the ikarim is Tchias HaMeisim. But that's not a yesod. We'll not find that in Yesodei HaDas. Now, we want to understand how all the halachos, you see, which is a direct halachification of these yesodes, right? How they? Why only these? All right. So first one's easy. Later she yeshem lekar. Very good. She leyal machshav beis is good too. She leyal machshav yeshem lekar chazulas yeshem. Gimel liyachda is a natural result, right? Liavoy and liyirimenu. The Rambam says that the avas Hashem according to the Rambam and yiras Hashem only comes from das. There is no way according to the Rambam that a person could work on his avas Hashem per se. It's impossible. The only way he could work on Avas Hashem is in proof of his das. But just to work on Avas Hashem according to Rambam is a total impossibility. It's through Rambam, the last Rambam, and Hilchos Teshuvah. V'fiyah deya tiyah ava, in ma'at ma'at v'marbe harbe. And there's no way you could directly work on Avas Hashem. Okay. Now, next is Lekar Hashemai. Lekar Hashemai, and Shlo Lechal Hashemai. Alright, over there the question is, why does that come in? Kiddush Hashem Shemayim. Right? So we mentioned, according to the Rambam, that really, it's interesting, Rambam's definition of Kiddush Hashem is different than most people imagine. Kiddush Hashem really has nothing to do with the other people, according to the Rambam. At least in the first type of Kiddush Hashem that the Rambam has. It's in Perakei Halacha Yud. He says, Vim Avar Bar, okay. V'chein kol ha-parash me'avero ay-osa mitzvah. Loi mipnei dovar ba'ola. Loi pachad, v'lo yira, v'lo levakesh kovid. Ela mipnei ha-boire baruchu. Kimniyas yesu v'atzadik atzmai, me'eshes rabbi. Ha-reza me'kadosh is Hashem. There's no, there was no public. There's no one, nobody else was there. Still, that's Kiddush Hashem. Kiddush Mayagadol. Why is that considered, what is Kiddush Hashem according to the Rambam? A Kiddush Hashem is a personal relationship between you and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It has nothing to do with anybody else. Nothing to do with anybody else. Okay? That was Perakei Halacha Yud. Any mitzvah, a person can be Mekadosh Hashem all day long. Any mitzvah, or refraining from doing any avera is a Kiddush Hashem. It's Liv asked about the Dmust Yupne Shalovah by Yesu HaTzadik. Yeah, but the Dmust Yupne wasn't why he refrained. That was just a causative agent in the process of refraining. But the reason why he refrained was only because of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's why it was Kiddush Hashem. The case by Yesu HaTzadik, the reason why Ram chooses that case is very simple, because over there was something, he could have done it. Nobody else was around.
Right.
He could have done it. And he only withheld himself because of there's no reason. He's in Egypt. He's in another country. The whole idea of doesn't exist. Nobody even knows about it. Who's going to stop him? And what? There's no, nothing to be ashamed of. Nothing. He had a perfect situation. Why didn't he do it? Only because of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay. Right. And a lot of Dal the Ram has. If him, he has like this. Okay, good. Now the question is, what does the Rabbim add to the picture? If it's not Kiddush and Chilul is not dependent at all upon the people. It's not the impact that you affect the people with. In other words, the Kiddush Hashem has nothing to do with how you affect others. The issue isn't to show others that God is good or to be mechal l'shamay. That has nothing to do with it. So why is it that if there's, what is the extra keem if there's asara there? That's the question. I'll give you an example. Let's say, for instance, a person should do a mitzvah for a just a second. It still bothers me. Why doesn't the Rambam say over here in Halacha Yud also, yep, if he does a mitzvah barabim, that it's Kiddush Shemai barabim? The Rambam doesn't say that.
What should he do? He said it right.
Let's say, for instance, the question is like this. According to the Rambam, let's say, for instance, a person puts on tefillin l'shem shemayim in the morning, right? Are you going to tell me that that's Kiddush Hashem barabim? He did it, it's Kiddush Hashem, that's for sure, right?
Mm-hmm.
But is it Kiddush Hashem barabim? The Rambam doesn't have that. He only mentions by Kiddush Hashem Barabim by where he's Maisa Nafshai. He says, if he does a Basar Meisrael, that's Kiddush Hashem Barabim. A person puts on tzitzis in the morning for no other reason other than HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so it's Kiddush Hashem, but if there's 10 people there, it's not Kiddush Hashem Barabim. Okay? I'll show you, it doesn't go by the effect on other people. Because the Rambam says, for instance, Now, if it wasn't lahachis, let's say, for instance, it was l'teyavain, right? It was l'teyavain, and he did it in front of 10. So he knows whether it was l'teyavain or whether it was lahachis, right? They don't know. They just see him eating chazer. So still, if he did it with Teyavain, so then he won't be Machalas Hashem, right? Barabim. If he did it Lahachis, so then it is. You see, it doesn't seem to depend upon how you affect people. Unless you say the Rambam means that they know that it's Besait Nefesh, that the people know it's Besait Nefesh. The Rambam doesn't say that. Pshat is like this. The Pshat is insofar as the Isa is concerned. It means the Rabbim is a certain condition. The Rabbim is a certain condition that for the one who does it. Like, for instance, let's say a person does an Avera. If he does a barabim, it's considered a worse mice of avera. The condition of rabim makes it worse. It's by mitzvah, it makes it hard to understand. Well, why should the condition of rabim help by mitzvah? And it's mashma from the pasuk v'nikdashti b'sech b'nei Yisrael. See that it's that has to do with the effect, See, it's not the effect. You see, v'nikdashti b'sech b'nei Yisrael is not the effect. Nikdashti b'sech b'nei Yisrael, it means that's what the mitzvah is. The mitzvah is that a person should do an action of Kiddush Hashem among ten. If that's the case, so what about if a person does a mitzvah, like we said before, puts on tefillin and there's ten people in the room? Would that be Kiddush Hashem? It should be the same thing. So that you could say like this, that the answer is that the rabbin doesn't mean that that there's a physical rabbin there. The rabbin means that it affects a rabbin. See, the effect is necessary in order to have the rabbin. It's not the pshat that the rabbin per se is the. It's not like a minion. If you have 10 people, so you have a rabbin. Over here, the rabbim is created by the fact that you affect the 10 people. If you don't affect 10 people, where's your rabbim? So the person puts on tefillin, the yachid, so it doesn't affect anybody. There's no rabbim. The rabbim that observes him. You see? So it has to be a rabbim that observes him. There has to be something in his action which affects them. Otherwise, you don't have a rabbim. But the mitzvah is, and the avera, and again, the avera is to do it in the situation of a rabbin. That's the mitzvah. That's the torah mitzvah. It's not the effect. The mitzvah is to either do an act of kiddush Hashem, bar rabbin, or an act of the issur is to do an act of chilul Hashem bar rabbin. See, an act in which is mechal Hashem bar rabbin. But the reason why the Rambam doesn't mention the Rabbin by the Halacha Yud is because in Halacha Yud, let's say a person puts on tzitzis. So where's the Rabbin? You have to have a Rabbin. The Rabbin has to be, you have to be able to count that, has to be Matzurif to his action. How are they Matzurif to his action? They're Matzurif to his action by the effect. Otherwise, there's no Tzurif. The Rambam mentions the Besait Nefesh, right? Or he mentions Lahachis, because that's when there's the Isser. The Isser is when he does it Lahachis. Now, if he does this Isser b'fnei asara shal Yisrael, so then he was machal shem shemayim barabim. You see? It's not the way he affects the rabbim. It's the hal. V'nikdashti b'soch b'nei Yisrael means that people will do a thing l'shmi, and there will be means the real mitzvah. See, v'nikdashti b'soch b'nei Yisrael, it doesn't mean because it's not a... doesn't deal with the result. It's not the result. It means, I'll give you an example. Like by tzitzis it says, orisim I say, right? But is there a mitzvah to look at your tzitzis? There's no mitzvah to look at your tzitzis. So why does it say, what's orisim I say? Orisim I say means that it will be. Orisim I say is not dvarim b'talim. Of course, the Chazal say prat l'suma l'alocha. But the plain shot also, ain't a mikra yisim depshutai. Claim shot is that if people have tzitzis and they put it on, people will see them. Ashatim's coming to Hashem, the medrash over there, right? So the shot is that the surah hamitzvah really is the actual putting on the tzitzis, not looking at them. But the tamei hamitzvah, the Torah says, is that it'll happen, that people will see the tzitzis and that affects them. See, but there's no mitzvah specific surah hamitzvah to look at the tzitzis. You know what I mean? That's why some say you don't wear the tzitzis out. Of course, we're wearing them out. They think there's a reason. Reason is not a specific mitzvah. Okay, one second. So therefore, just a second. The same thing over here by v'nikdashti b'sech b'nei Yisrael. V'nikdashti b'sech b'nei Yisrael. It means that it will happen that the people will do mitzvahs See? Beseich b'nei Yisrael. You see? But the mitzvah isn't to affect the b'nei Yisrael in a certain way. Let's say, for instance, I would do something in which it would be a hoax. Be a hoax. I really won't be doing a mitzvah. I'll do something that will make people think that I did a mitzvah, and they'll be kind of really good. Will that be the Nigdash B'Shech B'nei Yisrael? Absolutely not. Won't. Because the mitzvah is only to do a real Maisan mitzvah in the presence of Asara. That's it. How would it, to affect them, there's no halacha of affecting them in any way. You see? It's in the presence of Asara. No halacha of affecting them in any way. You understand what I mean? But that's the result is the Nigdash B'Shech. Nigdash B'Shech means like this. That people will do mitzvahs lishmi b'seich b'nei Yisrael. That's what it means. That's all it means. You understand? It's not discussing the effect. Of course it'll have a beneficial effect. There's no question about it. It'll have a beneficial effect. You see? But the actual tzuras mitzvah doesn't deal with the effect. The actual tzuras mitzvah just deals with the maisa of doing a mitzvah in front of Asara. That's the tzuras mitzvah. By Kiddush Shem of doing a mitzvah, even though the person is Mekadosh Shemayim all day long, but he doesn't mention it because there's no Asara.
Why not?
Because there's no observers. He's doing something everybody does. Nothing to observe. In other words, you create the Asara by affecting them. But the source of mitzvah is to do this Maisa mitzvah in front of Asara.
What's the beneficial effect?
That's right. That's the question, is how you learn the Nigdash B'Shech B'nei Yisrael. According to the Rambam, it means that you will do a Maisa mitzvah l'shmi, and it'll be B'Shech B'nei Yisrael. That's the mitzvah. That's it. Not, there's nothing to do with the effect.
So why isn't it mentioned?
If a person would put on its film in a certain situation, nobody else puts it on, then it would be a Kiddush Shem. But the Ram didn't say it because the Ram couldn't. So Eina Chanami, if a person would put on its film in a situation, whoever looks at him, he has an audience over there, then there'll be Nikdash or something. So, right, Eina Chanami. The reason why the Ram couldn't mention it is because the Ram couldn't say, the Imasa Mitzvah Bifnei Asara is raised a Kiddush Shem. That would mean anytime there's a Asara there, it's a Kiddush Shem.
Yeah, it
has to be a phenomenon that they observe, that they're observers. So if everybody's putting on tzitzis in the room, what's there's no one observing anybody. I can see all 10 people. I can see all 10 people putting on tzitzis, but that's not a phenomenon I'm observing. That's why if by lahachis, if he didn't do a lahachis, that's not considered chil Hashem. Now I don't care if you have 10 people there. The rabbin doesn't make the chil Hashem. There's a separate halacha of chil Hashem by rabbin. The rabbin doesn't make the chil Hashem. According to the Rambam. So therefore, if I did an aveira of eating lahaches, let's say, that's chil Hashem. Now if there's a rabbin there, it's chil Hashem b'rabbin. The rabbin doesn't make the chil Hashem. Alright, now the Rambam, I just mentioned quickly that the Rambam has another form of Kiddush Hashem and chil Hashem. That's in Halacha Yud. And the first in Halacha Yud, it's Kiddush Hashem and chil Hashem through Maisa HaMitzvah. See, up till there. Then in Halacha Yiraf, there's a separate type of Kiddush Hashem and Chil Hashem that has nothing to do with Maisa HaMitzvah. It has to do with the Ratzon Hashem that people should recognize the Torah. See, recognize the Kodesh Baruch Hu. That's a separate Halacha in Halacha Yiraf. There's another Tzura that's incorporated in the Chil Hashem, but that's what Ram breaks up in Halacha Yud and Halacha Yiraf. Because Halacha Yiraf has nothing to do with the with Maisa HaMitzvah. Or Maisa Avera, specifically.
Conduct.
Okay? It's a separate, just general conduct. Okay.
Universal?
What? Philosophical universal. But the halachic universal, I don't see. Now, yeah. Now, the thing is like this. That according to the Rambam, so let's get back to the definition. What is definition according to the Rambam? Rambam says, we does a mitzvah leim mipnei dover shabaylam, only mipnei habayre baruchu. Right? Mm-hmm.
Right.
So you see, so the thing is like this. That's why this is in Hilchos Yisrael HaTorah. Because in Hilchos Yisrael HaTorah goes like this. Is really the Hilchos Yisrael HaTorah were formulated so that the Yisaydes should reach man on three levels. Three, relate to man in his three parts. First of all, Deya. That's why the Rambam has the mitzvah. Leida Sheyesh Shem Alaka. According to the Rambam, Leida is not just a simple halacha of Leida. Doesn't mean, matter of fact, the Rambam doesn't say Lahamin. He says Leida, which means he should know, have to have knowledge of it. Now, even though in the, I just want to mention that in the, in the Sefer Mitzvah, it says Lahamim, but if you take a look at the latest, what's the name? It's Pirish.
Kapach's
Pirish, he says the word is, I remember, I think it was Ishtamoda or something. Okay. Ishtamoda. He says that word does not mean belief which is based upon ignorance. But it means knowledge. It means knowledge. It means leidaisis. It means exact same thing. The original Arabic, you weren't retranslated. There's no steer between this and the Sefer HaMitzvahs. So, according to the Rambam, the first mitzvah is leida, tavdas. The mitzvah relates to the seichel, or seichel ha'anushi. That's the first mitzvah. Then you have ava and yira. Ava and yira are effects in the emotions. Of course, like I told you before, you can't directly, according to the Rambam, you can't directly increase your avas Hashem, because it has to be an emotion. But the real emotion of avas Hashem has to be related to das. But the mitzvah is in the emotion. You see, the mitzvah is expressed in the emotion. So the Rambam says, miyadu yadeyashu briya shvelo afelo, he goes through the whole thing. Because man has emotions, so the mitzvah expresses itself in the emotions. That's two. That brings you through the first five, right? First four, right? Lava Yachta? Five. Okay, Lava Yir. Then, Lekada Shemai and Shaloi Lechal Shemai. That, according to the Rambam, is Allah in the Maiseh Adam, in the actions of the man. See, it's in the actions. So you have the das, the emotions, and the actions. That's how it goes straight down. The halacha was formulated to inculcate these yisaidis in man on the three levels. Okay? Concerning man's three parts, expressed in three ways in man. Okay. Now we come to Perek Shishi. Alright, this one's a hard one. Kolam Abed Shemin Hashem HaSagadeshim. Question is, why did the Rambam include this one over here? It seems to have nothing to do with the Yesedei Atera. Mechikas Hashem, erasing God's name, let's say on a piece of paper, you have the Shem Hashem, so you're not allowed to erase it. So why does the Rambam include that in the Yesedei Atera? A lot of halachas could have included. The Avodah Zarah, by the way, wasn't included. The Yesedei Avodah Zarah. The reason was because the Rambam, as Hakdamat Avodah Zarah says, that the Avodah Zarah didn't make any mistakes with relationship to God Himself, and still it's in the Avodah Zarah. Esasan et Elohei Chesef Elohei Zov means even if you have these images to represent the God, you don't make any mistake about His essence. But it's still in the Avodah Zarah. I want to say something new, perhaps, in regard to this Rambam. The thing is like this: that the Rambam held, you see, there is a halachic structure. Really, there's such thing as halachic structure. Now, the Rambam held that the Isser of Mechikas Hashem is really an Isser of the denial of God expressed through the halachic structure. It's not just the Isser of erasing the Shem Hashem from a piece of paper. See, but the Isser was a formulation, a representation of the Isser of the denial of His existence. Okay? Now, Danny brought a somewhat of a raya from the Lashon, because it says like this. I mean, from the Pesukim. It says, so you can't erase the Shem Hashem. But the Ibud Avodah Zarah really is the denial of Avodah Zarah. See? The reason why the mitzvah to be ma'abed, the Avodah Zarah, is definitely, without a doubt, is a mitzvah to deny the existence of Avodah Zarah. I mean, that's the mitzvah Torah. Mitzvah Torah is to deny Avodah Zarah. It's one of the most basic mitzvahs in the Torah. Right? Now, v'ibadatem es shemom, abey ta'abdun es kol ha'makom es asher avdu shem ha'goyim, v'ibadatem es shemom en ha'makom ahu, is a mitzvah to, why is the mitzvah there? I mean, you don't have to be a great philosopher to know what the reason is. The reason, obviously, is because the mitzvah is to deny the Avodah Zarah, to deny this idea, this false idea. Right? Then it says, what's Leisasen kein l'reshem alekechem? Which shows you, plain pshat that naturally follows, is that this mitzvah was formulated as a representation of the iser of the denial of God's existence. Leisasen kein l'reshem alekechem. So it means that that's why Mechikas Hashem is incorporated in the Yesedei Atera. See? That's the reason. A Rambam couldn't do without a pasuk. Without a pasuk, couldn't do it. That's the right. So now it comes out like this. It comes out that the mitzvah, the yisaid rather, the yisaid at Torah, the first yisaid, which is the existence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is expressed through how many ways? Through three ways we have already.
Four.
These kinds of four ways. It's expressed through man's das, man's emotions, man's actions, and man's halachic performance. So he was given, this yisoid was given to expression insofar as man's halachic performance is concerned. In the Issa Mechikas Hashem. Okay. In Kiddush Shemo, it's halachic performance, but not halachic representation.
Oh, that's
so that explains the first eight mitzvahs. Okay? And now we're up to the last yisoid, that's two mitzvahs. The last yisoid. Shakel Menabe Es B'nei Adam. And that was incorporated in. And then what was the Shmoyal Anavi? Shmuel Navi. The Shmuel Navi is the halachification of this yisoid, right? Okay. Negative. Shaloi l'naseisa.
Right.
Yeah. The v'asal l'naseisa. The last halacha in the halacha said it there. V'asal l'naseisa. Yais midav l'niya holchem u'menasim l'el shenem aleisenasa shem alekechem kasher nisisim b'masa. Sh'amru hayesh ad Hashem b'kibenu in oyin. Al meyach shenere shazen Navi yamin of yedik Hashem b'kirbon v'lo yeharu v'lo yachshu acharav. It means a denial of the. It's actually a denial. It's a denial of the principle of nevuah, according to Rambam. Yeah, that's the pshat. Hashem kibeinu ayin. The reason why the person questions it is not just in these circumstances. It's really a denial. The yisur stems from a denial of nevuah b'chlal. That's what the yisur is. Okay, that's one part. All right. Wow. The gibor, the chacham. Okay, and no need to go over it again. The only thing is. And I think the most striking thing that we mentioned there was, it says, the way the Rambam says, and the he's misgaber al yitzro, but the Rambam puts in one word. The Rambam says, who misgaber bedaito al yitzro, Tamid. The Rambam doesn't say just misgaber al yitzro. Wasn't it say misgaber al yitzro, misgaber bedaito? Difference is like this. Misgaber al yitzro is a common occurrence. Well, maybe not common enough, but nevertheless, it's an occurrence which is within the realm of the normal. Person says, no, I'm not going to do it. You see? But Mizgaber Bedaito means where his mind sees exactly why it's no good. And and that's why he refrains. You see, that's Mizgaber. That's the real Mizgaber Bedaito. It's a different Mizgaber than the other one. The other one's more of an emotional one. This is Mizgaber Bedas. He really understands. See? Okay. Yes, right. The other thing we mentioned was... The other thing is that that he can't have any. We mentioned that he can't have any, energy leaks. He can't be irrational in any particular areas. You know what I mean? Like let's say he's very rare. He's misgaber b'daita in everywhere, but one spot he's not. That's not that. That in such a situation, that will be an escape for a lot of his. Misgaber b'daita. Okay. It's an interesting thing. The Rambam mentions over here, this one we didn't take this halacha, but the Rambam mentions there's a first that a Navi knows that he's a Navi. Navi knows it. Because it's like this. He says, Mastakwa Chachmashal Kashbahu Kula, Mitsuri Shena Tabor Arts Vyedeme and Godlai. He understands the Chachmas Ailam. Miyad Rucha Kedesher Alav. Rambam says, Ubeis Shetanuach Alav Aruach. Tisarev nafshe b'maylas hamalachim, hanikruam ishim, v'yei hofech l'ish acher, v'yavim b'dayte she'ena k'mois shehoya, ela sh'nis'ala al maylas shor b'nei odam hachachomim, k'mois sh'nema b'shol, v'isna biso imam, v'nefachta l'ish acher. See?
Change the gavra?
Yeah, that the gavra perceives a certain change. It's an interesting thing the Rambam mentions. We mentioned all along that the Rambam says... Many times, he says, in the Meirei, he says, that Nevuah is not a supernatural phenomena, which means, by supernatural, I mean it's not a phenomena that results from the Ashgachas Hashem, the Ashgacha Pratius of Hashem. It's a phenomena that results from the Ashgacha Klolius of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which means that the Ashgacha Klolius means that there are certain universal principles that are working, that operate. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu set up Sheish Shemei Breishis, most nature. So this means that it's not a specific, the Rambam says it's nice, but it's a natural thing for man. As a person reaches a certain level, he's misnabe naturally. It's not, that's right. It's not a specific thing. He says, on the contrary, He says, what was Lushin? That if a person reaches a level and is not misnabe, it'll be just as big a miracle as any one of the other miracles. He's not misnabe. Because it would mean that HaKadosh Baruch Hu intervened and stopped him, prevented him. That's a possibility. HaKadosh Baruch Hu could. But it's a part, generally, it's a part of the Ashgacha Kolius, natural result. So therefore, you have to say when the Rambam says over here, he'll recognize that this means that this is a natural phenomena. It's a natural phenomena. Which means this is the Rambam sheet is like this. That the Ruach Elokim that devolves upon him, you see, the Ruach Elokim that devolves upon him is the Ruach HaKadosh. Ruach HaKadosh that devolves upon him is not a, like I said, is not a supernatural phenomenon. I mean, it's a natural thing that there is, when a person reaches a certain level, there is a Ruach HaKadosh that devolves upon him. It's a natural thing. It's a natural phenomenon. Yeah, there is such a thing. Okay? That's what the Rambam holds. Okay. Okay, now we're up to the Rambam, Perek Shvi Halacha Beis. Alright? The Nevi'im says there are different milas. Just like there's different levels in the Chacham, there's different levels in the Navi. Alright, fine, that we can accept. Now, the Rambam says that the Navi, the Nevuah comes to him b'chaloyim halayla, at nighttime. Or after a deep sleep, Tadema, in the daytime. Alright? So we want to understand, first of all, and then the Rambam gives a description of what happens. The Kulam Kshem Isnabin, when they have Nevuah, Evorein Mizdazin.
They shake.
The Kleach Aguf Koshel, right? The Eshtenoseim Mistarfas, and their ideas, your mind becomes maturach, becomes confused. But Tishor Hadas Penuyo Lahavin Mashatira, and the mind remains clear to see what it understands, right? To understand what it sees. Alright? T'mayshne Mavrom, V'inei Moch Hashecha Gedoylo Nefeles Olav. Right? Okay. So one understand what is this, what's happening here with another? How does this work? Okay? Yeah, so we said, like I said, at first, there is eshtonos. Eshtonos means his desires. Eshtonos means bayomahu bayomahu avdu eshtonosav. Eshtonos means the strivings of a man, the desires, personal desires that he has. Personal desires become confused, and then his mind reaches an unbelievable clarity. See? Okay. Yeah. So sleep. It has to be sleep, because by sleep, sleep is a process of withdrawal from the physical world. You see? So that's why it has to have that's why it has to have the process of sleep first. It has to withdraw from the physical world, right? Okay. Now, really, the thing is like this, actually. That, like, v'hine tademoch gedolah, v'hine emoch hashecha gedolah nefelas alav. See, the reason why he's unconscious is not because he's sleeping. He's unconscious because he's withdrawn from the... world around them, from the surroundings. You see, the sleep over here is not a regular sleep. This sleep results from being being totally withdrawn from your physical environment. You see. Now, what happens to him? We say like, well, since we'll get back to this in a minute, how it works. But the point is like this: that let's understand what is Evareim is Dazin the Koyach Haguf Kashel Eshtenesav Mishna Starfas. What is happening there? Actually, if you take a look at this, it's very similar to a psychological fit. See? Very similar to a psychological fit. Regular psychological fit. What? Like a psychotic fit. Yes. Now, the question is, a doctor would say, a physician would say, this is exactly the description of a psychological fit, like an epileptic seizure or something. Yeah. A seizure. See? Now, why is it like a seizure? You see, there must be something in common with it. The answer is there is something in common with it. In a psychological fit, what happens is the person withdraws from the physical environment because all the energy is going to his neuroses. You see? Now, when the energy withdraws, the psychological energy has the force of attachment. It's attached to certain things. When it withdraws, there's a tremendous amount of force. And the individual starts shaking. The reason why he's shaking is because of this withdrawal process. See, the withdrawal process causes the shaking. Over here also there's a withdrawal. But the withdrawal is not a withdrawal to a neurotic source of
not to withdraw to an erotic source of energy, you see? It's a withdrawal to the intellectual. But it's the same, it undergoes the same process. Actually, you might say, descriptively, it is like an intellectual fit, where all the energy is removed from the physical, and because of that painful process of withdrawal, the body starts shaking, he feels weak. The weakness stems from the fact that he's pulling the energy from these other sources, he's withdrawing them. And because he undergoes this process of withdrawal, that's why he has these symptoms, you see? But the energy over here is going to the mind. That's why it says Tishor Adas Pnuya. That's the final result as it goes to the mind. Okay? Do you understand? Another point I just want to mention, what Donnie's asking. I think it's like this. Now we understand also, what is the Bachalayim HaLayla? Either Bachalayim HaLayla, Bachalayim B'chasayim HaLayla, Oy B'yoy, Achash HaTipol Lov Tadema. See, Layla itself really is withdrawal. Layla itself is really withdrawal. That's what the Ram distinction is saying too. The point is that this cycle, this intellectual fit can only take place when there is withdrawal. Now, either you have to have a basis of withdrawal. Either the basis of withdrawal is at nighttime when he's sleeping, when the person makes the withdrawal by himself, or else it can happen in the daytime too. If the process takes place in the daytime, he will fall asleep. Because, in other words, either the process, there's two ways of the process. Either the process can initiate the sleep, or else sleep can initiate, the withdrawal can initiate the process. It can happen either one of two ways, you see? Well, it's the same basic idea. The idea is that it's the energy is being removed, and it's being transferred to the intellectual. Now, the thing is this, that it's transferred to the intellectual. Now, we said last time, we mentioned that it's a natural, according to the Rambam, it's a natural process, the Rambam says in the Myra. It's not a supernatural thing. It's not Ashgacha. In other words, it's a natural process. This would mean that you have to revise the whole idea of the energy of man. Because basically, the energy of man, the energy system of man, usually goes to the instinctual first. So he goes to the instinctual, is drawn to the instinctual, and then what happens? And then you could siphon it off for the intellectual. Over here in Nevuah, you see, it means that the energy is drawn to the intellectual. Which means a person, when a person reaches, it means like this, that ordinarily, under ordinary circumstances, a person is drawn to the energy is drawn to the instinctual. You see? However, a person can reach a certain level where the energy will be drawn to the intellectual. You see?
From the instinctual or directly to the
intellectual? So in other words, yes. It means like this. It means really, the truth of the matter is like this. You have to construe it like this. You have to say that the truth of the matter is that the energy initially, if you want to, in the psychodynamics of the mind, the energy initially is drawn to the instinctual. That's the way it goes. Yeah. Then in order to study, a person has to, a little bit left from like Adam Rishon, like before the Chet. Right? Now, the energy initially is drawn to the instinctual. However, when you siphon off a certain amount, it's not, why is it drawn to the instinctual? Because that's the way channel that the energy follows. If you can remove enough energy from the instinctual, however, it will be, there is an intellectual draw also. The only reason why the intellectual pull doesn't have any effect is because the energy is initially directed towards the instinctual. But if you could free enough energy from the instinctual, then the intellectual will attract energy too. It's not that the intellectual can't attract energy. It's just the energy has to be freed. Once the energy is freed, then it'll be attracted to the intellectual.
It's a natural process.
And that's what happens, that's a natural process. That happens in the Vua. You see?
If I think?
Yeah, in terms of magnets, you see things like this. There is an intellectual magnet. But the reason why the energy isn't directed there is because the energy is too close to the instinctual magnet, so to speak. You see? That's the reason. See? It's not that there is no intellectual magnet. There is an intellectual magnet. But the intellectual magnet can only function when you free enough energy from the instinctual magnet. You see?
Now levels enough.
This is a description.
Okay, here.
Where the Rambam says that the Ikitar is learned at nighttime has something to do with this. Of course, over there also, what the Rambam means is at nighttime is total withdrawal. See, because the night is where a person withdraws from. Night has a certain effect on a person. So withdrawal is alone at night. And the Ikitar is learned at nighttime because that's when a person can direct most of his energy into learning without any distraction. Yeah.
That's right.
The Rambam says a person's kind of Chachmasa Balayla is not just. It's a generalization. He's saying that that's the way it usually is. He's saying a certain process will practically always take place like that. You see? Now, why? What right does he have to make such a generalization? The answer is because what the Rambam is saying is that the day has a certain effect on a person. The effect on a person of the daytime is that he draws energy. Nighttime has a different effect on
even
a person.
Even if he's alone during the day.
Even if he's alone during the day. Even if he's all alone on a mountaintop during the day. But the fact that it's daytime, that itself has a psychological effect on a person. It's an unbelievable thing. That's what the Rambam says. V'yovin b'dayte she'ena k'mes shehoya l'shenis ayla ha'mayla sh'yob b'nei odom ha'chomim k'mes shenem b'shov v'sna biso imam v'ne'afachto l'ish acher. You'll be somebody else. How does he recognize that he's different? He recognizes that he's different because a person can perceive what intellectuality is. And he recognizes that his energy, insofar as the intellectual, has been completely changed. And there's a tremendous increase in the available energy for intellectual. Now in Lach Gimel, Hadvarim Shemaydin Loi. It's a good question. Hadvarim Shemaydin Loi Navi B'Mar Navua Derech Mashal Maydin Loi Umiyad Yechokek Beliba Pisrein Hamashal B'Mar Navua VeYeda Mahu Kimaya Sulam Shiroi Yakovino Malach Amal V'Yardim Bay VoYa Mashal Amalchis V'Shibudan Kimaya Chaya Shiroi Yechesko V'Asir Nafuach Umakel Shoked Shiroi Yemiyov. Now we have the problem with the Mashal and the Chida. I'll mention later the Rams like this. That the other now what is this mashal? We asked a few questions about this mashal. We didn't really answer all the questions. Well, some of the questions were, what is mashal by the nevuah? He sees a mashal like makel shaked, and the mashal works out in funny ways. Like makel shaked is kishaked ania ala ra, the same word, shaked. So makel shaked, it's a play on words. So that's what the navi sees, and he knows, he understands. What are these mishalim for? So you can't, the first sight you say the mushal, a mushal always takes something from the abstract and puts it into the concrete. So it goes from the abstract, puts it into the concrete. But over here the ideas aren't so difficult to understand. Why does the Navi need the mushal? That which the Navi tells the people is not really so abstract, but he has to have a mushal to understand it. I'm going to bring the raw quickly. So what is so difficult? Why does he have to have a mushal for that? It's a simple thing. Everybody understands the message. You know what I mean? Well, why does he have to have such a mashal for it? It's not an abstract thing. Right? You understand what I mean? Okay. Yep. So we said like this. He says later, when he speaks about Moshe Rabbeinu, he says that Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't have this thing. That's what he says about Moshe Rabbeinu. So we said like this. The reason why he needs the mushal is not to explain to him what's going to happen. That's a simple phenomenon. Because the Navi, when he goes to the people and tells them, it's a simple thing that he explains to them. This is going to happen a certain time. I mean, what's so hard to understand about? What is he need a mushal for? The pshat is like this. The reason why the Navi needs a mushal, why does he need a mushal, and what's the difference between regular Navi, Nevuas, Moshe Rabbeinu? Because in order to understand, let's say, for instance, I see a table. A table is a simple thing, right? Simple phenomena. But in order to understand really what a table is, there's tremendous chokhmah involved in a table and a piece of matter. A piece of matter has tremendous chokhmah in it. So the world that we see with our eyes isn't the real world. The real world is an underlying world that's not subject to the senses. You see, that's subject to the mind.
Ideas.
Yeah. Now, for instance, in order to construe the atom. To construe the atom takes a tremendous amount of chokhmah. Even today, they don't know exactly how it is. And some say they'll never know, because once you start observing it, the observation itself, that's the Heisenberg uncertainty principle, you see? The question is whether you can ever really get down to what the basic reality is, because your observation itself distorts the phenomena, you see? Okay, the Heisenberg uncertainty. Question is, can you really get down to the underlying, can a man through knowledge, through observation, really get down to the underlying reality? Because when he observes, the observation itself takes away from the objectivity of the phenomena. You see? So, right, you understand? Now, it comes all this, that in order to understand the table sensually, where we see with our senses, Yes, it's very simple. But to really understand what a table is takes tremendous chachma, because the table is built upon ideas that God created, and the real reality beyond the physical reality is very deep and very abstract. Now, when a Navi understands that something is going to happen, it means he perceives something in the Bria, he perceives something in nature. But the language that he perceives it in is not the language that we perceive it in. Because since he's perceiving it from God, from God's knowledge, he's perceiving it on a different level than physical reality. Because the language that the Navi understands is the language of God, which is on an underlying level. Now, that underlying level takes tremendous amount of knowledge in order to understand this. Even though the ultimate phenomena, which is ultimate, is simple, like they say a rock's going to fall on certain people. Yeah, but the phenomena behind the rock falling are extremely abstract, because everything in nature is extremely abstract, because it's Chochmas Hashem. Now, the Navi's reading this not on the superficial level. He's reading this on the underlying level. Now, to read it on the underlying level takes a tremendous amount of Chochmah. You see, that's why the Navi, that's why it says Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't need a mashal. He understands the Davar Al Buryei. Means Al Buryei means he could read the underlying language quickly, immediately. He doesn't need any mashal. The regular Navi isn't on that level. So he needs something to guide him in understanding what he sees, and then he could put it together. He can only put it together if he has the guide of the mashal. Without the guide of the mashal, he can't put it together. How exactly the mashal guides him, that we don't know. That we don't understand how that works. You see? But this is basically the process. In other words, Navi's reading phenomena not on the level that appears to the senses. He's reading phenomena on an underlying level of the universe, because the universe operates in certain basic underlying principles, which to this day we don't really know exactly what they are. We get close. The more knowledge we get, the closer we get. We can eliminate a lot of possibilities and get closer and closer as we delve into science. We get closer and closer. But the real underlying level, man doesn't really know. Now the Navi reads it at a certain underlying level. What that level is exactly, we don't know. It would seem from the Rambam, they say that there are different levels of Nevi'im, that there are different levels that you could perceive it at. You see, it's deeper. The question is, can man perceive it on the ultimate level? I don't even know if Moshe Rabbeinu could perceive it on the ultimate level. Could be. I mean, we don't know. But the fact is that the Navi is reading it on an underlying level. And that's why he has to have the mashal in order to guide him. The mashal is a guide so that he could read what exactly he sees. What he sees. Whereas Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't need any mashal, because he can understand the language immediately. He understands the language per se. So that's the difference in Moshe Rabbeinu between Shon and Vin. Okay? He has to translate the underlying phenomena. The underlying phenomena he has to translate into the practical, right? Now, the mashal directs him in the translation process. How it works, I can't say. The person looking for an answer somewhere, he knows it's over here, so it limits the sphere of the mind, so he knows to concentrate in this area. So therefore, he can work it out that way. It could be like this. It could be that really what the Navi perceives is the underlying phenomenology. He understands what the phenomena are on an underlying level, but the mashal is to tell him where in particular it's going to take place, it's going to occur. That's where the mashal is. You see, if that's the case, then you'd have to say that the greatness of Moshe Rabbeinu, the superiority of Moshe Rabbeinu over the other Nevi'im, is that his knowledge of God is so much greater that he understands the particular through understanding God's will. You understand what I mean?
Yes.
Okay. That means that he has a different dimension, Moshe Rabbeinu. His dimension, this is everything goes back to God. God is the source of everything that exists. The physical, everything that exists. Now, the Hashgacha also is the source of God, right? God is the source of the Hashgacha, right? So therefore, it comes out that Moshe Rabbeinu perceives not just the phenomenology, he understands, but he knows God's will to such a degree that he knows the particular even. He doesn't even need a mashal to direct him. Uh-huh. It could be that's the pshat. So you'll ask me, in certain cases, will be equal, and the Navi be equal to Moshe Rabbeinu? The answer is no. The answer is because insofar as God is the source of everything, it's not that there aren't two things there. God is the underlying source of everything. Really, there's one God that's the source of the Ashgacha and the source of the natural world. Right? Now, insofar as you have a greater knowledge of this God, then you'll be able to perceive both. The regular Navi only reaches one level.
You understand?
So it's a different in-depth knowledge of God that results in understanding what the Ashgacha is. And that you see, really, you see, Moshe Rabbeinu said, "Harenos kodecha." I want to know your essence. Then he'd know. Then he'd understand everything. He'd understand everything. He says, "No, I didn't know drachecha." Drachecha means the Ashgacha.
Now the Ashgacha results from the same source of existence of the universe. Two things result. We see them as two things. We see the natural law, then we see the Ashgachas Hashem. We see two things, but actually this all results from one source. Now, insofar as Moshe Rabbeinu perceives the source, so there's no conflict between these two. He goes beyond the two, become one to him. You understand what I mean? Exactly. The greater understanding is the knowledge of where it's going to occur if you understand it via God. See, that's why Moshe Rabbeinu asks, I want to know the Ashgacha. I want to understand the Ashgacha. The Ashgacha means to understand the source of the universe, not just in terms of the physical phenomena, but in terms of the Ashgacha phenomena. Now then, if you understand that, you'd understand God in a different way altogether. You have a different perception of God. See, Moshe Rabbeinu had that different perception, so he didn't have to have any Mishalim for the particular. You understand what I mean?
Okay.
See, a person who understands the source of the universe to a greater degree will understand the Ashgacha too, because the Ashgacha comes from the same source. See, you understand what I mean? So he would have a better perception of reality, because all reality hinges on this original source. Now he has the knowledge of this original source to such a degree that he even knows the particulars that is going to occur. So it's the knowledge of the source that he has to a greater degree. His nevuah is greater because he is closer to the underlying reality. He has a different. He achieves a different level in terms of the underlying reality of the universe, which is God, and that level includes the particulars too. You see, it's not the particular itself per se; it's the source from which the particular comes. So, since he understands God on a deeper level, and he understands the source of the universe on a deeper underlying level, so therefore the particulars are included too. Not that the particulars are hard to understand, but to be on that level of reality, to be in contact with that level of reality, requires a much deeper understanding.
Mm-hmm. So
according to this way, we're learning now, we can understand what the mushal is. What the mushal is and why Moshe Rabbeinu does not need the mushal.
What is that?
Give you a mushal. A person sees a car. Now he sees from the car, is moving, and he sees the exhaust comes out of the back. So Tim, it's two different things. There's exhaust coming out and the car is moving. So therefore, it's two phenomena that he has to understand, right? Now, a person can understand these two things separately, or if he really understands the nature of combustion, he'll see why these two things result from the car, why the car moves ahead and why you have the exhaust. Moshe Rabbeinu could understand the underlying level. He could see why, he would be like the person who understands the engine, so he'll understand why you have the exhaust coming out and why the car moves ahead. It's a different level of perception. Whereas a person who perceives these two things independently doesn't really understand the nature of combustion. You might understand the nature of the car's motion, you might understand the nature of the exhaust, but it doesn't really see the underlying thing that unifies both. The rest of the VMC see it splintered off. Whereas Moshe Rabbeinu goes down to one step further into the underlying reality, where you have the Ashgacha combined with the physical phenomena. It's a deeper understanding of God. By the way, I mean that should be clear also. This is a very important point. Regardless, this is an important point. When we say Ad Hashem Echad, when we say there's an underlying reality beyond the universe, we have to realize that one of the big problems in understanding of our philosophy is that we perceive two different things. We perceive a supernatural force of God intervening, and then we also perceive a physical reality. The truth of the matter is that there is one thing. God is only one. Hashem Echad is only one, which results in these two things that to us seem like two different things, two different properties, because we don't have the knowledge to understand the source of the universe and to see why these two things are a natural result from his essence, which is the real reality of the universe. So thus it comes off as two things. That's because of a defect in our perception. It's easy for a person to perceive that there is one source of the universe if you deal in terms of the physics. Say there's one source of the universe, you see? But if once you see that there's Ashgacha already, Ashgacha Pratius, now that one source, it becomes more difficult to understand because you perceive two different effects. And then the human mind perceives it as two. Whereas to understand that there is one common thing, one thing underneath, underlying from whose nature results Ashgacha Pratius and Ashgacha Kolius, that one, there is one being whose nature, whose singular nature, from whose singular nature results Ashgacha Pratius and Ashgacha Kolius. That's a harder reality for a person to understand. It's a deeper reality. That's what we mentioned a lot of times. Moshe said that Moshe Rabbeinu had a deeper understanding of the universe than the greatest physicist. Yeah. Because since the underlying source of the universe is God, and he had a deeper understanding of God, so therefore, insofar as he had a deeper understanding of the ultimate reality, he had a deeper understanding of the entire universe. Without Ashgacha Pratius, we maintain, you can't understand the underlying reality of the universe.
Yeah, the mushal of looking
at is not to be confused. The difficulty is because a person thinks of the Ashgacha Pratius in terms of he has an infantile idea of the Ashgacha Pratius. Think of a simple thing like
a mystical type of thing, like a primitive tribe, think of somebody intervening on their behalf to help them. The simplistic idea, that's what causes the difficulty. But from the Torah, you see, it's not that way, because you see, Moshe Rabbeinu was mispalled to God that he should be able to understand something about the nature of the Ashgacha, which shows you it's a tremendous chachma, the Ashgacha. See, that's the difference. Nevuah also presupposes that there's a certain limit to human knowledge, which can be transcended only through Nevuah.
That's
an important point that you mentioned over there. So sometimes that's a personal prophecy where he can understand, since his mind is free and his whole dynamics of his mind changes, right? So he could perceive things that he never perceived before. And that's the level of Nevuah which he improves himself. But then the Rambam says, Ve'ef shishi yeshulach la'amei amei ha'aretz. That would seem to be like this, that God sends him directly, that the specific message is through the Ashgacha. To reach Nevuah, a person can reach it through a natural means, the natural process, like the Rambam says in the Mar Nevuah, it's a natural process. But to receive a specific communication, to do a specific thing, that communication was sent by the Ashgacha. But the fact that he is a prophet, the fact that he perceives it is a natural process. But the specific communication is through the Ashgacha. Unless it's just Lahakh of Daita, that's just a natural process. Okay. Why can't God give the Ashgacha to anybody? The answer is because the language in which the communication between God and the person takes place requires a certain level. Everything that we see is everything that we see, that our senses see, is only accidental. It's only accidental. We only see accidents. We do not see any essences. Everything we see is only accidents. God, when God communicates to him in terms of the essences, not in terms of the accidents. See, what we see, the world that we see is an accidental world. We see a leaf, it's not a leaf. We don't really see what's going on there. Everything we perceive is not really, it's just an accident. To us, it happens a little bit. Like Bertrand Russell one time said, he said, if we were very small, we would see a world of constant motion. If we were the size of an electron, we'd see a whole different world. The whole world that we see over here would not exist. These things that we accept, it would be a totally different world. And yet if we were very, very extremely big in the universe, we'd also be perceiving a total different reality than we perceive now. So you see, the reality that we perceive, that we consider to be so absolute, is just accidental. Accidental due to our size, and it's accidental due to our senses. But the underlying reality, we have no perception of at all. And when God relates to the Navi, he relates to him in terms of the underlying reality, not in terms of the accident, an accidental feature. It just happens to be. It's easy this way. That's not God doesn't relate to that. This is Dalet. Right? Give me what we did already. Call on the name of Snab Machal Shiitzel, Machav Nadaitan, Yeshu, Smechem, to a lave. Shane and Avu, Shara Limitech, Atsvus Limitech, Atsvus Limitech, Simcha. Lefikach Benea and Avim, Lefneam Naval, the Safe of Chol of Achina, Vahim of Akshim and Avua. Zeshnem of Amis Nabim. It means that he's mizvakesh nevoah. He's going in the derech nevoah. It doesn't mean he actually is being misnabei. The hema misnabim means that they're going in the derech nevoah and totally misnabei, not that they're actually being misnabei. Okay, we have to understand like this. Now, there's three things we have to define here. First of all, why doesn't it say that they're Isaac and Chachma? Number one. Secondly, what is Atzvus and Atzlus? And third, why do they have Neufech V'chino? Also, the difference between B'nei and Nevi'im. Okay, we're still like this. Really, the truth of the matter is, like Ram mentions in the Moira, that really any emotion is bad. But here he's generalizing. There's two things. Atzvus means, by Atzvus it means where the emotion is tied up to a particular thing, so then it can't be free. And Atzlus means the emotion isn't tied up to a particular thing, but there's something preventing it from... Atzlus means a person is being prevented from action. That's what Atzlus is. So even though it's not tied up to a specific thing, but there's something preventing it from acting. So the energy isn't free again. The energy isn't free either because it's tied to something, or there's something preventing it from going into motion, being operative. Okay. Now, what is the Rambam is the one who really denigrates music, and over here he seems to praise it. Nevo, v'seif, v'chinar, all right. So he said like this. Why? What's the pshat? See, let's understand. What does he say? He says, "Mechavnin daitam v'yeshvim smechem etu elev mizbeidim." The thing is, before the Navi can go into this seizure, he has to be in a certain state of mind.
It has to be in a certain, in a state of mind in which the energy is most free to make that, to make that change. He has to make this transition, this total transition, to remove it from the other parts of his, the other parts of his psyche, and to direct it to this part. Now it has to be in a state, in a free state. It has to be ready to make the exchange. Now, therefore, he has to have these. Therefore, he has to have mechavnen daitam, the yeshrim smechem at 2:11 is bedim, ready for the transition. If he's learning, if he's in thought, he's not ready for that transition. In thought, yeah. It's a funny thing, but his energy is tied up in the thinking. Therefore, he's not ready for the transaction, for the transition. Now, the thing is that the so that's why over here, really, really, he is not in a state of thought. Ram doesn't say he's in a state of chachmah. He says no, yeshrim smechem at 2:11. Just the energy is ready in a state of transition. So he has to have that state of readiness. In thought, he's not. In thought, he's not. Part of the energy is in the unconscious. Part of the energy is in thought. But he's not ready for the transition. It has to be a certain state that's required over here. Now, that's why you need the Sefer Chinor, not because the Sefer Chinor Nevel, all these things are to get the energy in a certain state. The reason why the Rambam frowns upon all kinds of music is because music takes away from Chachmah. Not inherently because he doesn't like music, because music takes away from Chachmah. You see, because it takes the energy into a different area. But over here, where the music is being used for this, for the purpose of putting him into the state of readiness, on the contrary, then it's being used to seek Chachmah. So then it's a good thing. Then it's a good thing. All right. Now, there's one more thing I want to say in regard to this music. You see, music really is the language of the emotions. The thing is like this. A normal person, when he hears music, that's why there's different music with different emotions. See? A normal person, when he listens to music, he's doing nothing more than activating certain emotions. But over here, the music over here is being used to direct a certain state of mind. Because, in other words, the Navi is readying his emotion for a specific transition. You see? There, the music acts in a way that it affects the state for its best possible, in the best possible way. So what the Navi gets out of music is different than what an average person gets out of music. You understand? In other words, music will affect the person insofar as his level is concerned. A person is on a lower level, music will bring out certain base emotions. A person on a higher level over there, music will be necessary to bring out an emotional state which is necessary for Nevuah. That's because of the nature of the Navi. The personality of the Navi is different than the music will activate a certain part of him, which is his love of Chachma. The music of the Navi, in short, activates his love of Chachma. Okay. Since his essence is the love of Chachma, so that's why it'll activate that thing. You see? What? Even for a regular person that has love of Chachma, it'll be a waste of time for him to activate his emotion in terms of love of Chachma, and he should be involved in Chachma. That's really if he loves Chachma so much, he should be involved in it. You see? But over here, in seeking Nevuah, there is his love of Chachma causes him to get ready for the transition. You see, that's why it's most important for him to be in that state, even though he's not in the state of Chachma right now, because he will be able to achieve greater Chachma through the process of Nevuah. So ordinarily, where a normal person's love of Chachma will lead him to be involved in Chachma, the Navi's love of Chachma will lead him to be involved in this transitional state so that he can perceive a higher level of Chachma, a totally different level of Chachma. You see? It was from the same emotion, but in a regular person it would be a waste of time, because if he's really interested in the love of Chachma, so why doesn't he if the love of Chachma is being activated, so he should be involved in Chachma. You see? But a Navi, since he's capable of Nevuah, so his love of Chachma will cause him to go through this state so that he will be able to achieve a higher level of Chachma, because that's what Nevuah is. You know what I mean? Yeah. So really there's no contradiction between the Rambam's the general Rambam, where the Rambam looks down upon music, and over here where he praises it. Okay. Yes, the difference between B'nai Nevi'im and Mavakshim and Nevuah, and between the Rambam says in Halacha Hey, Eilu Shem Mavakshim Lasna Be'i V'Avfi Shem Achavnen Daitam Efshish Tishra Shechina Leim V'Efshish Lo Tishra. What's up, Shah? That's right. Very, very good. Yeah, so the thing is, the difference is, that's why the Rambam says Mavakshim and Nevuah. Mavakshim and Nevuah means they have to direct their energy. The Nevi'im don't have to direct their energy. The Nevi'im just have to be in that state and the energy naturally flows. So therefore, they always have Nevuah. But B'nai Nevi'im have to use the process of direction. It depends on how successful they are at directing it. Sometimes they are successful at directing it. Sometimes they're not successful at directing it. That's why sometimes they do have Nevuah, sometimes they don't.
Isn't it Shavuot?
It's either the Rambam in the Mora or the Rambam in Chelek, where he mentions Nevuah, where it's in the Mora, where he says, he doesn't differentiate like he does over here between the Mavakshim and Nevuah and not Mavakshim and Nevuah. But over here, the Rambam had two categories. Okay.
By the way, I think what we said before fits in very well with the Ram over here, because Ram says, "Kol nevim al yedei malach." Yedei malach means, you see, the yedei malach means some intervening force, which means he doesn't really perceive the underlying reality. Whereas Moshe Rabbeinu perceives the underlying reality. That's why he needs the regular Navi needs the mashal, because he doesn't perceive the underlying reality. Malach means that there's something intervening. He doesn't understand the one underlying reality behind the phenomena. That's why he
needs one.
You see? Okay, that's a good question. The question is, by Moshe Rabbeinu, why don't we say that Moshe Rabbeinu is inferior? Because he's able to walk around and he's able to see and he's able to do things. So it would seem that all his energy isn't removed. The answer is, the reason why the other person's energy is blocked out from these activities is because of the painful struggle that he's undergoing. The Navi undergoes this painful struggle, you see. But ordinarily, man was made, man is in his, Moshe Rabbeinu, we mentioned Moshe Rabbeinu really represents the highest limit of man. Ram says he's the highest of Min Ha'anushas. Because the Rambam says in the Meirah, the Rambam says, just like a specific individual has a limitation, each individual has a limitation of how much strength he could have, for instance, so the species also has a limitation. The species of man has a limitation. No man could ever be as strong as an ox. There's a limitation to the species. The species has a limitation. No man can see like an eagle. It's an impossibility. There's better eyesight in individuals, but there's a limit. The species itself has a limit. The species is delineated. There's delineation to the species, and there's a limit. Moshe Rabbeinu, he says, is not just a person, an individual, but Moshe Rabbeinu represents the uppermost limit of man, the highest min hanushas, the highest man can reach, the highest level. That's what it says, lekambi soka Moshe. It's the highest level, you see? Now, the thing is like this. The thing is, insofar as the highest level of man is concerned, man was created really not to lose his senses. He was created to be able to walk and to utilize his senses and to reach and to have the highest level of nevuah, you see? The reason, so actually, that's why Moshe Rabbeinu was able to walk around, was able to be conscious, aware, and still be able to have Nevuah. That's the highest level. The reason why the other Navi is blocked out, because of the struggle blocks him out. You see, it's the struggle that blocks him out. But if you don't have any struggle, that little bit of energy that's necessary to walk or to do things, is not. There is enough energy for him to have both. To be totally involved in Nevuah, on the highest level, and also to be able to walk about. Because man was made as a creature to be able to walk and to be able to use his senses and to be able to have his mind. There is enough energy for both. So Moshe Rabbeinu represents the perfection of man, so therefore the perfection of man is to be able to go about naturally, do his things, and also to be able to perceive Chochmah. The reason why the regular Navi can't do it is because he is not on that level. He has to go through the struggle. The struggle is what blacks him out. You see? That's the reason. Okay.
Now,
there is enough energy for man to be able to physically stand and to be able to think. There's not enough energy for man to be able to think and to be able to have his energies diverted towards the lower spheres of a person's life. That's impossible. So then you have to have the struggle in order to remove it from the lower spheres. When you move from the lower spheres, so then the struggle causes them to black out physically. So well, the effect of the struggle that causes
also as a result of the struggle.
We mentioned also that if the regular Navi would be able to walk about, so then he would that wouldn't be, even after the struggle's over, he can't walk about. Because the moment he comes back to the physical reality always carries with it certain associations to the desires. So therefore, these associations to the desires would naturally bring him back to the attraction of the physical. And therefore he would be a contradiction to his nevuah. So then he'd have to withdraw again. You see, he can't tolerate. It's like a mushroom, like similar to what the Chavis Lavavis says. Two types of tzaddikim. There's a tzaddik that can live in in the woods and be a tzaddik, and a tzaddik, but he can't live in society. Well, society, once he's in society, he's drawn to society, and he can't be perfected. Then there's a tzaddik that can be in the midst of society and be perfected, because the effects of society don't bother him, there's no effect on him, you see? So the similar thing is over here. Moshe Rabbeinu could be in contact with the physical reality, and it doesn't affect his nevuah, you see? But a regular Navi, if he was in contact with the physical, the mere fact that he's awake and that he sees the physical existences, this itself has certain, this itself brings certain unconscious attachments, right, which starts pulling on his energy, draining him from his energy, so he has to withdraw. He's the person that has to be totally withdrawn. That's the regular Navi. Whereas Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't have this problem. These things don't affect him. The physical doesn't affect him at all.
Within society.
Yeah, he's like the tzaddik within society. In other words, the regular Navi has to have a certain amount of energy, must be against the waking. You see, he must be a block against that, because once he starts awaking, then he's going to get drawn back again. Exactly, that's right. It's qualitative. That's why, that's right. That's the pusik.
when they spoke against Moshe Rabbeinu. That's the pasuk. That's what I said. He says, "Where's the pasuk?" You see, that was the thing. That's qualitative of the friendship. It says, "Vayemru harakach is baloischa yudbeis base." Vayem harakach b'Moshe diber Hashem aloygam bonu diber. Vayishma Hashem. What were they saying? They're saying we're also Nevi'im.
Miriam and Aaron?
Yeah, Miriam, we also were Nevi'im. Now, why is this man setting himself apart from the rest of the humanity? Well, he's a Navi, right? But we're also Nevi'im, and we see that the way we should act. I mean, he's also a Navi, so he has to act the way, also the same way. And it says, Vayayim Hashem Pisum Mash Vayayim Miriam. Sushlashkam Vayayim. What did God say? Vayayim Shimur Nozvari. Im Yi Nevi'achem Arashem Bamarai Lavasvada Bachalamada. Loichin Avdi Moshe Bachal Basin Emanu. What was God saying? What's the answer? You see? What is the answer? God gave one answer. That you said, no, it's a different nevuah. It's qualitatively differentiated. You thought that Moshe Rabbeinu was greater, but you thought he was in the same realm. They knew that Moshe Rabbeinu was greater because he was Rabban Shekel Yisrael. Aaron and Miriam knew it. You see, they would be the last ones to deny such a thing. But they thought that he's in the same range. That was the mistake. Said no. All the differences the Rambam enunciates was a qualitatively differentiated man. He says Madula Yerasim Adaber Avdi Moshe. That was the answer that God gave. It's qualitatively differentiated.
They
didn't know.
They
didn't
know that.
Apparently, they should have thought it. It says Madula Yerasim Adaber Avdi Moshe was that they should have. There must have been some emotional reason why they didn't perceive it. Some weakness, some imperfection, which prevented them from recognizing that Moshe Rabbeinu was qualitatively differentiated. That's why they were blamed for it. Because it says Mitzvah Ras Kasholi goes in Einish. All these four chalukim is mentioned right over here. Three are mentioned overtly, and the fourth one is mentioned covertly. Right. The three is that the first one is that is no. The Rambam says, "What's the first one? There's no chalom, no chalom." Second one is that there's. That there's no mashal, right? No mashal achida. Usmunas ad Hashem yabit. You see, usmunas ad Hashem yabit means he understands. That's what I told you before. It mentions he understands that he has a deeper perception. Usmunas ad Hashem yabit fits very well. He understands the underlying reality. It's a greater. He's in a different orbit already. You see, okay. And then you have the third one is that he's not afraid because this kasher yidaber ish arieyo, right? Peo peo daber bo. No, I'm sorry, Kashi Dabir Shareo is somewhere else. Kashi Dabir Shareo. Yes, let's just finish off. So why these four things? How do these four things work? Yeah. So we said that the we explained what? We explained why the Chalaim? Because he has to have the regular Navi has to have the withdrawal, whereas Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't have to have the withdrawal. Because he's in a constant state. That would be in a constant state. If that's the case, then why do you have to have the fourth one? The Rambam mentions the fourth one, that he's Misnabe Bechol Es Sheyirtze. Yeah, that's the same thing. So why does the Rambam break that off into two things? That should only be one thing.
Should be three or four.
Right? That should be one thing, that since he's always in naturally, he's in that state, right? So he doesn't have to withdraw, right? So it's Bechol Es Sheyirtze. That seems to be the same thing. The first and the last seems to be the same. All right? When the Rambam says that Moshe Rabbeinu can do it any time and the other Navi can't do it any time, he means the other Navi has to be Mechavan Daitai. You see, whereas Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't have to be Mechavan Daitai. That's what he means. Because he says over here, Kondala, Kondalathim, Mechavan Mecholesh Yitzu, Ala Mechavan Daitam Vyoshvim. You see, but Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't have to be Mechavan Daitai. Yeah, the reason why, if it would seem that from the last one, if you have the last one, you certainly have the first one. That since he doesn't need, if you or the other way, if you have the first one, you have the last one too. Like this. See, there's two things. The first one says that he doesn't need a psychodynamic change. He doesn't need this passive withdrawal. He doesn't need a halayim. That's one. Then two, let's skip to the third one. The third one is that he isn't fear. He doesn't have fear. The fear results from the tremendous pain that results from this process, from this struggle, from this traumatic struggle. That's why by Klai Yisrael, that's what we mentioned also, by Har Sinai. They said, no, they said, Daber Ato Imanu V'Nishma V'Aleh, Daber Imanu L'Kim Pen Nomos. Why do they say Pen Nomos? Why did the Jews say they're going to die by Har Sinai? Because they underwent the tremendous struggle. The pain of the struggle was so great that they felt like they're going to die. But so a regular person whose energy is rooted in the instinctual, if you remove from the instinctual, the pain is too great.
the psychological pain is too great. He could die from psychological
pain.
For trauma. People could die from psychological trauma. It's a proven fact. Yeah, people could die from psychological trauma. No question about it. So the psychological trauma is too great. It'll kill him. Now a regular Navi won't kill him, but it's still a tremendous amount of pain. And the fear is because of it's like he fears for his life because of the psychological change. Whereas Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't have this. That's the third one. You see? Now the fourth one, that's the first, and there's no transition. Therefore, there's no psychodynamic change. Therefore, there's no fear, and therefore there's no fear. Now the third one is the third one, which is actually the fourth over here, which is the fact that he's always ready means that not only is there no psychodynamic change, but he doesn't even have to have a readying process. He doesn't even have to, but 1 second. In other words, what the Rambam is saying is like this, that it's possible, even though there's no psychodynamic change, still he might require a readying process. That's what the Rambam is saying. You see? That's what the Rambam is saying. That's why the Rambam breaks this off from the other ones. Because, you see, a regular Navi has a readying process for his, he needs psychodynamic change. But for psychodynamic change, he still needs a readying process. Whereas Moshe Rabbeinu, who doesn't have psychodynamic change, still in all, you might think he needs a readying process also. No, he doesn't even need a readying process. See? The thing is, I guess, even, see, there's two types of, there's two types of energy. When we say the energy is directed towards a thing, this has two meanings. In one sense, it means, in terms of the compartments of the psyche, like each compartment has a certain amount of energy designated running to it. It doesn't necessarily mean that the energy that's directed to it is always in operation. You see? It doesn't mean the energy directed to it is always in operation. For instance, a person can have a certain amount of energy. We know, let's say, the unconscious person has a certain amount of energy directed towards sexual things, let's say. It doesn't mean that every time it's in operation, it's waiting, it's dormant. The energy is waiting there for it. Now, the slightest thing, it'll grab onto it. You see, like Chazal say, Hori Isha, Ein Ana Nitzel Mehem B'chol Yom, even the Tzad Gomel. Gemara says, why is Ein Nitzel Mehem B'chol Yom? Because there's always energy, it's always dormant, waiting to go to this area. And then something happens, so then this is the way the energy becomes active. It goes from a state of potentiality to a state of actuality, right? Ah. So there's energy is directed towards different things, you see? Doesn't mean that it's actually being used in these things. It's just waiting there for it to come into operation. You see? Now, by Moshe Rabbeinu, we say that his energy was always directed towards the Chachma. Yeah, but that doesn't necessarily mean, just because the energy is directed towards the Chachma, you see, it means he underwent the process of withdrawal from the other area, and the energy is always waiting for Chachma. It doesn't mean the energy is always operating in terms of Chachma. It doesn't necessarily mean it's functioning, it's operational in terms of Chachma. If it's not operational, if it's dormant, then he would require a readying process. You see, to go from the potential to the actual. You know what I mean? In other words, the thing is, by Moshe Rabbeinu, that energy which is his energy is removed from the physical and is going towards the intellectual, right?
He didn't
now, like, yeah, but does that mean that that energy which is going towards the intellectual is in a state of potentiality, or is it in a state of actuality? That's the question. You know, you understand what I mean? In a state of potentiality means the energy is directed towards that, but it's not achieving its goal every minute. It's directed towards Chachman, but it's not achieving its goal every minute. It's not actively being achieving. I don't know what's preventing.
Maybe stop.
Oh, he'd require a readying process to bring it into actuality. You understand what I mean? What I'm trying to say is that not Moshe Rabbeinu's energy is allocated to Chachma, but his energy was constantly being released in Chachma at all times, constantly.
That's Moshe Rabbeinu.
It was an active, active intellect. So since it's so therefore Nevuah could always, at any time, whenever he wants, Nevuah could always fall upon him. He didn't have to ready himself for it. And this state, you see, there's one thing. The one thing I want to mention, it's not just the state of being actively involved is qualitatively a different state. Doesn't result, it's not just that he's active. He has the same, let's say for instance there'll be a person like Moshe Rabbeinu who has such an allocation of energy to Chachma, right? But he's not actively involved. That wouldn't mean that he's just lacking the fact that he's not actively involved.
It's a different, it's a qualitatively a different state of energy dynamics that results in a constantly active intellect. You understand what I mean? It's a different quality, a different level of psychodynamics, which involves a constant state of activity. It's not just that he's going the transition from the passive to the active. You know what I mean? And now I'm not in the passive state, now I'm in the active. There's a different level of energy. This type of energy is an energy which is constantly being released, because man's nature is to constantly be in a state of activity. That's man's nature. To be constantly in a state of activity. Okay. So therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu was a constantly being released in the in active thought processes, you see? That's why he was always ready for the void. He never had to ready himself.
Yeah.
See, but prepare, the possibility of preparation could be in either state.
Right.
That's why the realm has it broken off. You can have a preparation. Let's say, for instance, you can make a transition from one state to another. So you need a state of preparation to make the transition, correct? But let's say, for instance, you have an allocation of energy to this area. You still might need a state of preparation, a state of readiness, in order to get it from the passive to the active. So that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't need. So those are the basic things. All right. Now the last thing he mentioned over here is like this: is that you're saying, yes. The regular Navi, if he's involved in Chochmah, only has a portion of his energy in Chochmah, whereas Moshe Rabbeinu has all of his energy there at all times. Now that's why it mentions that he wasn't there was no issa for him to be parish min ha'isha. Because the regular Navi goes down from a state of Nevuah, he returns to the normal
regular
life,
state.
His energy returns back to the physical. Therefore, once his energy returns to the physical, it's mechuyev to have an isha. Whereas Moshe Rabbeinu never returns,
that's why he never went back.
That's why he was able to perish min isha. That was the whole thing. You see the way the Rambam is explaining, what was the whole thing of perish min isha? That was the whole thing in Baal Eischa, with Moshe, with Aaron and Miriam against Moshe. Because they said, Aloy, now you understand, I said, Aloy Gambona Diber. We also were Nevi'im. So we have, since we were Nevi'im, and we saw Nevuah, but after Nevuah is over, you go back to your regular state, and then you have to go back to your normal life, and you have to have an Isha. So why is he different? That's when God explained to them that it's a different level of Nevuah. This is in Moshe Rabbeinu, Lechein Avdi Moshe. He is constantly in this state. Since he's constantly in the state,
go back.
Therefore he doesn't go back to his to an isha. You see, that was the they didn't realize that different level of a nevuah. But there's one thing I want to mention. It's the last thing. It says the smunah for Hashem. Tosin Shabbos Daf Pei Vav Meralef deals with the Piyamidi with the Pirish Manisha. Okay, but now let's go back. There's one thing I want to mention. What about the second chilek? Usmunas of Hashem Yabit. How does that tie in with the other ones? You see, that he understands the underlying reality. He doesn't have any no intervention because he understands.
No malach.
He understands God at a deeper level. You see, the pshat is like this: that all this is only possible. All this, the whole transition, that the whole change, the whole difference between the Vuas Moshe and the other Nevi'im is because of Usmunas of Hashem Yabit. You cannot have that much energy directed to the area unless you have that perception also. That perception is necessary. Because the perception of Chochmah, like the Rambam says, by Avas Hashem, he says, the Ava Lefiha Deotia Ava, in Ma'at Ma'at Vem Harbe Harbe. That in order to have, it can't just be, in other words, like this, the reason why, the attraction that a person has to Chochmah is in direct proportion to the amount of Chochmah he has also. You see? In other words, like this, the reason why Moshe Rabbeinu was able to reach that level was because of the nature of the perception that he had. That was the smoothest of Hashem Yabit. Without that nature of the perception, you can't have the Avas HaChochma. The Avas HaChochma requires as its object Chochma.
Yeah.
You can't have Avas HaChochma if you don't have Chochma. Now, in order to be on the level of Moshe Rabbeinu, you had to have that particular knowledge also, the smoothest of Hashem Yabit. That's because he was able to see the smoothest of Hashem Yabit. That's why he was able to have the whole redirection of all his energies, you see?
Yeah.
All because of his level of Chochmah. Okay. Shabbos, and Shabbos is Pesach and Olaf. The Ram mentions the basic Yisoid. The basic Yisoid, insofar as understanding man is concerned, you see? It's a basic Yisoid insofar as understanding what the nature of man is. Nevuah. Without Nevuah, you do not perceive what the nature of man is. If in order to perceive in order to have an understanding of Yadus, you have to understand two things really. There's two Yesedis. One yesod, the first yesod is that that there is a God, yeah. You see? And the second yesod is based upon the nature of man. That's Nevuah. Shekel Mesnabel of Nei Adam. Without those two things, one is the nature of the ultimate existence, which is God, and one is where man stands in relationship to the ultimate existence. Those two, that's why you have two yesodis only in Hilchos Yesodei HaTorah, those two yesodis. Ikarim is different. Ikarim are ideas that are necessary in order to... necessary ideas. That's not Yesodis. The two fundamental principles upon which the whole Torah rests, that's the Yesodi Yesodis and the second Yesod, those two Yesodis are necessary in order to... Those are the two. Why are those two Yesodis? One is because one is the nature of the universe, which is that there's an existence beyond that, God, and the second one is the nature of man. Yeah. Right, there's not a contradiction to what we said before, that Yesodi had dos. Without the second Yesod, you have no dos. That's true. But the two Yesodis still are related.